Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Hope the start of the day is treating you right for this April 17th, 2023. 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
And Beth Habhager.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a great start to your day out there, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. In a little bit, we'll get into some entertainment news. Before we wrap up the hour, we'll touch on some That Ain't Right stories. We'll get to some good stories of the day, but it's Monday. It's in the 9 o'clock hour. You know what time it is, everybody. Time to open the kitchen.
Tell me something good.
Yeah. It is Monday, April 17th, and we want to open our show by thanking our sponsors. Mm-hmm. The Kitchens Open is sponsored by Chatterbox Catering. Chatterbox Catering is a full-service catering company equipped for all your catering needs.
With the warmer weather we were experiencing last week, now's a great time to think about booking a caterer for your summer parties. If you need a venue, Kathy can even set you up with that. Mm-hmm. Excellent homemade food is even better enjoyed outdoors. You can take the stress off of planning by calling Kathy.
That's right. Kathy can plan the perfect menu for whatever kind of party you're planning. Just call 715-712-3393. Mm-hmm. And we'll tell you that number again at the end of the segment. But today, we're going to talk about early spring edibles, specifically ramps.
Mel, what's a ramp? You mean like the kind that you walk up?
No, not exactly, Beth. Ramps are one of the earliest spring greens in our area and were beloved by indigenous people in Eastern North America. It was a blessed change from the dried meat they were living off of by this point in the season.
Wait, what are they?
Ramps are also known as wild leek, wild garlic, spring onion, or its English cousin, ramson. As its other names suggest, it has a strong onion-garlic flavor.
Oh, now I know what you're talking about. Aren't these a really big deal in the Appalachian Mountain area?
Yes, many mountain communities have ramp festivals this time of year. It's a sure sign of spring.
Didn't I hear that the popularity is actually endangering the wild plant?
Yes, people are over-harvesting them or not harvesting them sustainably. But we'll come back to that in a minute. First, let's talk about this delicious plant.
Well, according to the UW-Madison Extension Wisconsin Horticulture website, it's a member of the onion family, but it is also a native wildflower.
Yes. Ilium trichocum is the scientific name for ramps, which is very difficult to say.
Yes. The plant, to quote from the website, is native to rich, moist, deciduous forests and bottoms of eastern North America, from Quebec to South Carolina and west to Minnesota. Those are zones 3 through 8. The main habitat for ramps is forests dominated by birch, sugar maple, and poplar, but they are also found naturally under beech, linden, or basswood, hickory, and oak.
Yes, it goes on to say they are typically found in association with other wildflowers, including bellwort, bloodroot, ginseng, mayapple, trout lily, and trillium. This is something to remember if you go foraging for this plant. While many of those flowers and plants I just listed are mostly edible for humans, they are not completely safe.
It's also important to note that ramps look very similar to Lily of the Valley, which is highly toxic to humans.
Mm-hmm. But it is pretty easy to identify ramps. Mm-hmm. When you cut the stem or rip the leaf, the pungent smell of oniony garlic is unmistakable.
Mm-hmm. The plants are perennial and grow in groups. They grow from a bulb that sends up 2 to 3 shoots, light green leaves. They almost look like tulip leaves. They sprout up tightly furled, and then they expand to open to a wide 3.5-inch flat blade that can get up to 8 inches in height.
Ramp season only lasts about 3 weeks in the spring, and they're gone as soon as the weather gets too hot. They also send up a flower stalk right before or after the leaves die back, and the flowers bloom in early summer. It's a small greenish-white flower, and they're tiny, but they grow in a small little clump. After they're pollinated, a single small, hard, shiny black seed develops and then falls to the ground near the original plant.
But seed germination can take up to 18 months, and plants may not get large enough to harvest for 7 years. This is why the native plant is under threat from over-harvesting.
Yes, because of the increased attention ramps have been getting over the last decade or so, there's more of a demand at farmers markets and high-end restaurants. fresh ramps can sell for $10 to $30 or more per pound.
Wow, that is crazy. There are even places where the commercial sale of ramps have been banned to help preserve the supply. Mm-hmm. According to Epicurious.com, Quebec banned selling ramps in 1995. It actually caused a black market where illegal foragers were pulling as many as 2,000 bulbs and selling them on the other side of the Ottawa River in Ontario. One poacher was caught with over 7,000 bulbs and faced a fine of $10,000.
Wow. So this is where we should talk about sustainable harvesting and how you can grow or transplant your own ramp patches on your property. Mm-hmm. Just don't let anybody else know where they are.
And if you know of a patch somewhere that's not on your own land, you need to have written permission from the landowner. Foraging for ramps at state parks, forests, natural areas, recreation and wildlife areas in Wisconsin is not allowed. County lands and municipal properties have their own rules, so you need to check with your local parks department or municipal clerk.
And the important thing to remember when harvesting is that you only want to take as much as you can eat in a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. Ramps only last a few days after harvesting, unless you turn them into ramp butter, or my favorite, ramp pesto. They need to be eaten right away.
You also want to harvest no more than 15% of the ramp population in any one patch. The best way to harvest them is the thinning method. This is where you only take one leaf or two off of a plant, leaving at least one leaf behind. This allows the plant to survive and still put out a flower stem and seeds to help propagate the patch.
I don't even want to talk about digging the bulbs because that pulls up the whole plant and leaves nothing to grow the next year.
But let's say you do have permission and want to transplant a small amount to grow in your own garden or woods. What do we do then?
Okay, that's understandable. And it also starts the plants growing in a new area that they weren't already before, so I can get behind that. Mm-hmm. So you'll want to find the largest ramp plants in the patch. It's best if you do this in March, right after the ground has thawed. So we're past that already.
Yeah.
But take great care not to damage the roots or bulbs when you dig them up. You'll want to transplant the bulbs about 3 inches deep and 4 to 6 inches apart in an already prepared planting bed.
Then you probably want to let them grow for a year or two before you start to harvest them to give them a good head start.
Very true. These are really slowly propagating plants, and if too many leaves are removed too early, mm-hmm. the plants won't be able to grow, reproduce, or survive.
And that'll defeat the whole purpose. So,
right.
Well, now let's talk about how you can enjoy eating these delicious early spring greens.
Yes. Like I mentioned earlier, my favorite way to preserve ramps is to turn it into ramp pesto. I did this several years ago and was able to have frozen ramp pesto all year.
That sounds so good. Mm-hmm. Do you make it like regular basil pesto?
Pretty much. I used a variety of ingredients and I made several different batches. It's basically your greens, extra virgin olive oil, salt, lemon, and whatever nuts you like to use. Because ramps have such a strong flavor, I combined them with kale for one batch and walnuts. And it was excellent, and it makes the ramps go a little further.
Oh, that sounds delicious. Well, what other greens did you use?
Well, for my second batch, I used stinging nettles with the ramps, and for nuts, I used almonds.
Stinging nettles? Like mm-hmm. the kind that cause your skin to get all itchy and stuff?
Yeah. Actually, it's another delicious native plant that's perfectly edible. But that's for another episode. Let's get back to the ramps.
Okay. Well, how did you make the pesto?
Well, I washed the ramps and the greens. Some recipes say you should blanch them before you start, but I honestly don't think I did that. Since I was planning on freezing them right away, I wasn't worried about them turning brown, and that's usually why you blanch vegetables. Mm-hmm. You want about 2 cups of ramps and 3 cups of your other greens. Roughly chop them before adding them to a food processor. Add about 1/4 cup of your nuts, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and 1 teaspoon of freshly squeezed lemon juice. The lemon also helps keep your greens very vibrant. Then you want to pulse your food processor to combine and then drizzle in about 1/3 cup of extra virgin olive oil while the machine is running. Blend this all up until you have it to the desired consistency, and you'll want to scrape down the sides of your food processor a few times while you're doing this. If you want to get fancy, you can roast your nuts before you start to ramp up the flavor. See what I did there?
Yeah, you're hilarious. You mentioned ramp butter earlier. I found mm-hmm. a recipe on SeriousEats.com that sounds easy. It calls for 1.5 pounds of ramps, 4 pounds of unsalted butter, two lemons, and salt and pepper to taste. You simply clean the ramps under cold running water and blanch them quickly in boiling salted water. You only want them to be in the boiling water for about 30 seconds and then shock them with ice water. Drain them well and squeeze out as much of that liquid as you can. Then slice them very thin. In a large bowl, mix butter, lemon juice, ramps, and salt and pepper and until all are well combined. Then you form logs of butter on sheets of parchment paper by rolling the parchment paper tightly around the butter. Seal these tightly in a freezer bag or use the old butter wrappers to make smaller logs and store them in a freezer to use year-round.
I didn't do that the one year I harvested ramps, but that sounds super easy.
It certainly does. But there's a variety of ways you can enjoy ramps fresh while they're in season. They can be used in place of onions or garlic in any recipe.
They go great in pasta or eggs.
You can stir fry them or grill them like asparagus.
In Richwood, West Virginia, at the Feast of the Rampson next month, they'll serve ramps with potatoes, brown beans, cornbread, ham, and bacon.
Oh, that sounds delicious. Road trip, anyone?
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun?
Uh-huh.
This ramp feed is one of the oldest I could find. They are celebrating their 84th year this year in Richwood. That area was originally called Cherry Tree Bottoms at the end of the 1800s. In 1901, the population of the city rose and the town was renamed Richwood because of all the lumber in the area. While they're celebrating their 84th official year, its certain ramp feeds go back further than that for settlers in the area and millennia for indigenous people who lived there first.
We didn't talk much about that yet. Indigenous peoples considered the ramps to be an important tonic because they provided vitamins and minerals that weren't available during the winter. The American Indian Health and Diet Project website says the Cherokee boiled or fried the young plants, while the Iroquois consumed them seasoned with salt and pepper. Both the Ojibwa and Menominee dried and stored parts of the ramp to be stored for winter months.
Yes, and they also used ramps as medicine. According to that same website, aihd.ku.edu, it states their high vitamin content and blood-cleansing properties meant that the ramps were highly prized by the American Indians for their nutritional value as well. The Chippewa decocted the root and to induce vomiting, while the Cherokee consumed the ramps to treat colds and made a juice from the plant to treat earaches. A tonic of the plant was used by the Iroquois to treat intestinal worms.
Did you know Chicago's name comes from a Menominee Indian word for the plant, shikaku, which used to grow abundantly in that area?
Really?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes, indeed. Indigenous people referred to the area around the southern part of Lake Michigan by that name they used for the plant you our guys are talking about. In the 17th century, when Europeans arrived in the area, they kept the Menominee Indian word, shikaku, which they pronounced as Chicago, which is how we say it today, spelling a little bit different.
How cool.
That's fascinating.
I was waiting for this tie-in. You thought you could keep me out of this episode. You thought you could. No, I snuck away in. I sneaked in there.
We can't leave you out, James. Mm-hmm. You're the whole reason we're here.
Yeah.
I can't be grateful enough for your support for our segment, and especially for the support of our audience.
Yes, thank you to our listeners. Without you, we would just be talking to ourselves.
And of course, we also wouldn't be here without the support of Chatterbox Catering. We send out a big thank you to Chatterbox Catering for sponsoring our Kitchen Open segment.
If you have catering needs, contact Kathy at Chatterbox and she will find you the perfect venue for your party. I don't know if she'll have ramps, but if you supply them, I'm sure she can make you something delicious.
For sure. Whatever your catering needs, contact Kathy at 715-712-3393 and let Chatterbox Catering cook up something good. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Wonderful episode, you two. That was fantastic. That was a lot of fun. Looking forward to next Monday's Kitchens Open already.
Yeah.
Big thank you again to Chatterbox Catering. They appreciate our friends over there.
Yes.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with some entertainment news for you on The Morning Show here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. 9:20 on the clock. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there. We dive into entertainment news now. A few months ago, Brad Paisley collaborated with Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky on a charity song called Same Here. Now he's making his first visit to the Ukraine, and he performed the song in Kyiv.
Oh, wow. Really?
He also sang Take Me Home Country Roads with a U.S. senator from West Virginia who's also on the trip, and he also performed it in front of U.S. troops in Poland. It was apparently a surprise show, and the soldiers even sang along. We are going to play a little clip of that for you right now.
One of the reasons I've come all this way is to talk to the very people that are at the edge of the battle for democracy. You've left your families, a lot of you, you've come here to be this tip of the spear for the United States. And thank you so very much for what all you do and for preserving the freedom and the way of life we all live.
That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. Nicely done, Mr. Paisley.
Warms the heart.
Yeah, nicely done, sir. Man's not only a great MC and guitar player, but seems like a pretty darn good guy, too.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Nicely done. I want to move on to this one right here, where that Brad Paisley seems like he gets along with everybody. Not so much with the guys from the Police.
The legendary band
The Police just were recently interviewed, and Police drummer Stuart Copeland says it's wonderful the band stayed together as long as they did because their working relationship became poisonous.
Ooh.
He says, quote, in that studio we were three jerks with no respect for each other. We were abusive. We drove each other nuts. It wasn't physical. It was icily silent between us. We were mourning the friendship and camaraderie we once shared.
Aww.
Stuart, Andy Summers, and Sting are friends now, but only because they don't work together. Quote, we get along great now, so long as we don't have to share the stage or a studio together. We've all said it to each other how much fun we're having playing the Police music without having to deal with the other stuff.
Right.
Even after all this, Stuart says he's still optimistic that they will do some shows together in the future, although he gives it a 1 in a million chance. Stuart recently reimagined the band's catalog with an album called The Police Deranged for Orchestra. It's coming out in June.
Deranged for Orchestra?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's an interesting way to phrase that one.
Yeah, yeah. When I think of bands that didn't get along, they're one of the first bands I think of. Just the stories that I would hear as a kid growing up, and then that obviously turned out to be, a lot of them turned out to be quite true.
Well, and it makes the music all that much more powerful. I mean, because they came out with some great hits, and to think that they weren't always getting along when they did that, it makes you appreciate it even more.
Yeah. Yeah, it really says something, I think, about that. And I mean, the thing about this stuff is, too, while I'm sure there's fans of the music that would love to see them perform live and all of that, we've got their music. So,
right.
You know, I think that part of it is pretty cool, as it is, that they don't necessarily have to get along or have to ever perform together again for people that like their music to still enjoy it.
Well, and it says something that they're able to get along now, that they were able to put aside that whatever was causing the issues back then to be able to say, hey, we like each other. As long as we don't have to do this part, we're good.
Yeah, I say this as somebody who's not a gigantic Police fan. I like their music, but I'm not a gigantic fan or anything. I'm more happy to hear they get along than if they ever play together again.
Right.
I mean, that's their own business. I'm just glad that, you know, there's the three guys that they're the only ones in the world that know that it's like to experience what they experienced. It's good that they have each other to be able to talk to still.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I will not be the next James Bond, everybody.
Oh, no.
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't
get a call back.
I did not get a call back. In fact, I didn't even get a call. There have been a lot of names thrown around for the next James Bond, but there's still no word of when the choice will be announced. One thing we know for sure, however, is that it probably won't be a young guy. So it won't be me, everybody.
Okay.
I know. No, I'm joking. Nobody's considering me a young guy. Nobody. A casting director working on the new Bond flick says they're looking for someone with more life experience.
Okay.
Quote, we did look at a lot of younger actors, and I just don't think that they had the gravitas. They didn't have the experience, they didn't have the mental capacity to take it on. Quote, because it's not just the part they're taking on, it's a massive responsibility. So I think that to most people hearing that out there, it's an acting role. What are they talking about? Let's look at Daniel Craig for a second.
Right.
Daniel Craig is a pretty good example, not just because he played the most recent James Bond, but that because he was able to do something that a lot of James Bonds before were not able to. Have a life, have a career. While Daniel Craig was filming James Bond, that movie we brought up earlier, the spider movie, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Right.
He starred in that. He starred in about 100 other movies, you know, in between now and then, the Glass Onion movies, those things and stuff. Like, he's been able to do, he's not just typecast as James Bond. People know him as Daniel Craig and then James Bond.
Right.
They know he plays James Bond, but he's not typed to it. I think that as an actor, that's a gift. Like, you know, you can't get much better than that. It's part of the reason why a lot of people, like Timothy Dalton and actors like that, didn't want to take that role on for a very long time.
Right.
So I think you get that kind of out of the way, and it's like, okay, well, I don't worry as much about that role. Then there is the commitment. And you are not just committing to a one-film gig. You are committing to a project that whenever they're doing these movies, you're doing them.
Right.
And if your schedule says otherwise, too bad. You got a family vacation. You got another film you want to do. You have that passion project you wanted. Tough. You signed up to be James Bond.
Yep.
Get out there and go film. Like, that's the thing of this when you sign up for these things. It's very similar to signing up for TV work. I get the consistent work. I have a consistent paycheck. This is amazing. It also takes up all my schedule. My complete year is booked. There's a reason why you don't see a lot of TV actors doing a lot of movies. And if you do, it's chances are they filmed it in the summer. And they're not in the movie very much. It's the commitment. I'm not saying this like it's something that, what a sacrifice they're making. No, I'm not. I use the word sacrifice very seldomly, and this is not a sacrifice.
Right.
But it is something I think to think about why would a person not take the role? Why would they take it? Those are the deciding factors. It's a reason why I will bet right now whoever they pick is not going to be a household name. They may be famous. They might be known. You may know the name or so whatever, but they are not going to be a household name. Because they don't want to bring it. Let's say Benedict Cumberbatch agrees to be the next James Bond. Nobody's going to argue with that. He's one of the greatest actors of all time. But Benedict Cumberbatch ain't doing that. And they wouldn't do that. They know that they can't get him on a schedule like that. He's Benedict Cumberbatch. He's working right now. I have no doubt he's working somewhere doing some kind of thespian work that's blowing people away. They can't get a guy like that. They know. And it wouldn't be good for Benedict either. It would be taking up his schedule.
Well, and the other challenge is it's such an iconic role. And you think about all the actors who have played it and how many of us say, well, here's my favorite. So whether or not they're going to come into it knowing they're going to be judged by a standard. And everybody's going to say, well, you know, the most common answer is Sean Connery because he launched this film role.
Yes.
And so everybody's kind of measured up to that. How are they up against that? And that's going to weigh on an actor. Can I pull that off? Can I do as well and not, you know, ruin this iconic piece of literature and icon in our culture?
I think they need to go a completely different route with this. They went with a blonde James Bond with Daniel Craig. I think that they need to either go with a Southern Asian Jewish man. I think that would be good. Or how about Jewish James Bond? How about shaken, not stirred? I like it. although if you could just be a little bit gentle with the ice, I don't want it too stirred. It upsets my stomach, and then I can't do a lot of spy work. Oh, did I mention I'm a spy? Yes, of course I'm a spy. 007, it's what my name is. The name's Bond, James Bond. But you don't have to say it like that. I just like to say it that way.
I think it should be Jane Bond.
Exactly. Or Jamie Bond. Woman. Yeah, a woman.
If it isn't this go around, it will be the next. That'll definitely happen. That's definitely going to happen. And I don't have any issue with that. I don't see any problem with it. I would think it'd be kind of
furthering the story.
Yeah.
I like the idea of it being a woman, but they treat it just like they did in the 80s and 90s, where every James Bond ended with the Bond with the woman and the fade out and everything. I want the same thing, but her doing that to a guy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
A little role reversal there. That wouldn't be bad. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun. Got some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day. We got some programming notes to tell you about and all kinds of other good things coming up on The Morning Show right after Melissa's news. It's Melissa news time. Yay. On The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. We hope you're having a great start to your Monday out there, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Melissa, Beth, James here with you. Got a That Ain't Right story, have to tackle. And going to try to do this with a little bit of tact, but I don't know if I'll be able to. We go to Waukesha County. I want to send a big thank you to WISN for the nice reporting on this one. A big thank you to them for this. I don't know how many people heard this story yet or not. This is a local one. Waukesha County prosecutors have charged a former Heartland Lakeside School Board member with election fraud. John Harder, 28, faces 3 misdemeanor charges. Investigators say Hartner didn't list his own address when running for office, but used his father's residence in the town of Deerfield on his school board candidate forms. So this is a guy who basically lied to get elected onto the school board. Now, we obviously, election fraud is wrong. Nobody's okay with that. All those things are horrible and everything. This is where we're at. We're going to do this on school boards now, too. Mm-hmm. There are people that are he may not or he may do some time in jail for this. Mm-hmm. But he's definitely, at the very least, going to be cost thousands and thousands of thousands of dollars for cheating to get onto a school board. This is where we're at now with politics. This is where the game has gotten now. We're all okay with this. Everybody's all right with this. For running for school board, the class president's going to start cheating on elections now too and stuff to run for. A 28-year-old man doing this nonetheless. Not that the age matters. Like any age, it would be inappropriate to be doing this and everything. And it's not as if that, it's not as if there's ever an okay situation to be doing this. Like if they did this for thing they're running for, it would be okay. I don't mean it like that, but I mean, look, I come from the home of corrupt politics. Like Chicago perfected this, all right. It's part of the reason why these stories irritate me so much, because many Chicagoans that are politically savvy or understand politics or anything like that hate that we are known for that, hate that we are associated with that. So push against it. Not only that, but to the point where it irritates us on any level anywhere. Mm-hmm. And this is happening in our state. This is happening right here. This kind of stuff. It's not the only story we've seen like this. It's not the only story we will see like this. But I see the story reported on, and yet I see nobody really touching on it or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's a fear of talking about it, if it's that we don't want to bring attention to it, or if it's that we're getting numb to these things. But I refuse to get numb to this stuff. It's bad enough to see people cheating on an election to become a congressman or a senator, but for a school board?
And that's my question. Yeah. Why?
Well, unfortunately, I think we've made the school board more political than it needs to be. We've lost sight that the school board is there to benefit the students, to make sure children are being educated and educated well so that they can become good citizens in our country. And instead, I'm wondering if people are looking at it as a stepping stone. It has become a more political office. And if I can serve on here and promote my side's politics here, then maybe that's my step up to another position.
We've heard the phrase before, no religion in politics and those things. I'd like them to keep our I mean, if you're not going to give kids money for education, then quit, you know, then keep them out of your politics.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to care about their education, you're not going to care about their safety, we're not going to keep them safe, we're not going to care, you know, put money into education or any of these things, and get out of there. Move out of the way. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Harder resigned from the school board. He is scheduled to appear in court later this month. Should be interesting to see how that develops.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a punk, by the way, Mr. Carter. John Harder.
Yeah. Well, and Waukesha is having a rough time with their school boards now because that's also the same area where the Rainbowland song was just banned.
Right. Hey, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get back to teaching and taking care of our kids. Let's get back to focusing on the things that really matter here. I thought this was interesting too. The irony here is that Gen Z hates phone calls and voicemails. It turns out voice memos are getting more popular, especially with young people. That's when you send an audio clip over text. They're also called voice texts, voice notes, or just audio messages. They're more personal than texts because you can hear the person, but unlike a phone call, you can respond whenever you want. It's not a new feature. iPhones have had them since 2014, and WhatsApp had them even earlier than that. But we're suddenly sending more and more of them ever. 62% of us have sent an audio message before, and 30% use them at least once a week. On WhatsApp alone, over 7 billion are sent every day now.
Wow.
So why the sudden surge? It turns out the pandemic might have given voice memos a boost. We started craving human interaction, and texts didn't quite scratch the itch. We wanted to hear actual human voices, just not on long, boring phone calls. I do this with my oldest daughter, Bria, all the time.
Okay.
It started, to be honest, it started because we were getting to know each other a bit. And, you know, I was worried I would say something and it would come across. I meant it sarcastic and it would cross mean or something like that. And she, her and I being so alike, she was worried about the same thing because we had the same sense of humor. So we started doing this and then it just became fun and a way for us to kind of be close, even though when we can't see each other or something like that and hang out or anything. I love it. I think it's awesome.
It's much more
feature.
Personable. Text.
Well, and you can hear tone of voice because you can say the same words, but the way that you say them means a whole lot. Yeah. So being able to listen to it rather than just read it, then you know how they meant it.
Mm-hmm. I think when it comes to stuff that you really want to make sure they're getting, like this is the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
A text is may seem faster, but I don't think it actually is. I think it actually takes longer oftentimes to text. And oftentimes it's not so much texting it out actually, but like, okay, did I rereading it? Mm-hmm. Did I get it right?
Did I spell everything right?
Yeah, did spell
don't have to worry about autocorrect.
Yeah.
Right.
When
did
you're
I
saying,
miss an important word somewhere?
Yep.
I don't mean to over explain or anything, but just assuming people don't use this or for those that don't out there, this is something you can do this. And if you don't like it, you can redo, you can redo it a couple of times to get it right or whatever. And then it just, boom, it just sends.
Yep.
I don't know. I think it's a really cool way of doing it. We need texting. Texting is always going to have a use, but I would love to see this become the norm.
Yeah.
Like this become the more the way we communicate with each other.
Then we don't run the risk of being all caps and people thinking that you're yelling at you.
Yeah. I had that happen to me once and I just accidentally hit the caps button.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that I was sending it at all. I just sent the text. I didn't look at it or anything like that. And
did somebody respond? Why are you yelling at me?
But that's exactly how my brother responded. Yes. Why are you yelling at me? I'm not yelling at you. We're just Italian.
I had somebody that would communicate through email in all caps.
Interesting.
Just regularly. And I was like, that's a little weird.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that, Mel.
I think that's easier to read. I'm not sure.
And when are they going to start to do that with emails? You know, how great would it be if instead of just shooting an email, because that's where this all started with misinterpretation of reading.
Texts.
Yeah. And how great would it be if we emailed each other those kind of things rather than just typing it out?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and communicating with each other through, voice and then also through video. Mm-hmm. I have a couple different friend groups that communicate through video. where you send each other like a an audio and video at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but before we do, just a couple of quick programming notes. And local notes here. I did want to mention this. The Representative Krug, Scott Krug, has a listening session today from 11 to noon over at the Rome Town Hall at 1156 Alpine Drive in Nakusa. He will then be at McMillan Memorial Library from 3 to 4:30 today. Both those will be taking place today. Again, Representative Krug has this listening session going on today at the Realm Town Hall at 1156 Alpine Drive in Nakusa, 11 to noon. And then from 3 to 4:30, he'll be at McMillan Library here in Wisconsin Rapids. And I did want to mention that tomorrow around the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Lana from Let's Create.
Ooh, nice.
Let's Create, a local crafting boutique here in Wisconsin Rapids. We're going to get to talk to Lana, talk about the business, and get to know her and the business a little bit more. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to
it.
That will be a good time. We got more good times coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Got Melissa, Beth, and James here with you, and we hope you're having a fantastic morning out there. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour with nothing but fun. At the top of the hour, we'll have CBS News, and then after that, it's Playmakers. Mm-hmm. Join us for the sports talk show where you get to call in and join the conversation. 424-2600 would be the number normally. I don't think our phone lines are working today.
Oh, no.
How we are going to do a sports call-in show without being able to take phone calls is going to be quite interesting. Seth and I are going to be doing the show together today, so do not be surprised, everybody, if at some point I just like have Seth like do fake voices.
Hello. Okay, it's your turn to call in.
I would like to talk about this.
Yeah, just doing some really, really bad impressions, just to try to fill the show, fill some time.
Would we still be able to direct message you?
Yes. We can have that. So I'm glad you mentioned that, Beth. I think an impromptu way of doing this, if you have sports thoughts, questions, feelings, whatever, and you can't join us on the air and you really want to get them to us, direct message us on Facebook, mm-hmm. and we'll bring them up that way. Otherwise, mm-hmm. we got plenty to talk about today. As a programming note for Playmakers, I was just literally during the break there talking with GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Peckman. Mm-hmm. And Coach is going to join us next week. He's going to call in.
Very nice.
Looking forward to that. We'll kind of recap the season a little bit mm-hmm. more and talk with Coach. That's going to be a lot of fun. And we're getting, of course, ready for rafter Rafters. Baseball
yes.
around here and everything.
Yes.
So that is an exciting time.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking about that on Playmakers. Looking forward to it. For now, got a That Ain't Right story.
Okay.
Have you ever seen someone litter and immediately pulled over? Not to confront the offender or to throw the trash away, but to keep it yourself?
What?
A 38-year-old man named Colin McCarthy was driving through Eugene, Oregon last Tuesday evening, and he just started hurling $100 bills out of his car window.
Oh.
He was doing it long enough that the cops were getting calls about it. They tracked him down, and he told them he was doing well and wanting to bless others with gifts of money.
Okay.
Now, that's a really cool thing,
yeah.
right? That's awesome. I mean, what an amazing human being to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing it in the Danny Wright section, James? That's a good story of the day. Well, the thing is, it wasn't all his money.
I wondered.
His family says he took the money, around $200,000, from their shared family accounts. The cops gave him a warning for the littering, and they thought about charging him with reckless endangerment or disorderly conduct for creating a dangerous situation on the road when people were chasing the bills.
Mm-hmm.
His family says his decision to spread the wealth has left them broke, and they're asking anyone who picked up cash to return it. It's unclear exactly how much was lost. The police can't do anything to help them because Colin's name is on the account,
right.
So that's a family issue.
Yikes.
Wow. I mean, I'm all for helping others out, but if it's a joint thing, you need everybody's okay to do that.
Hey, yikes.
At your own family's expense.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very, very uncomfortable Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
It's going to be very, very uncomfortable. Would you guys like some more stuffing? Mm-hmm. Too bad we can't afford it. That's messed up.
Yeah.
That is a messed up story. That I
you gotta wonder what was going on. There's something going on with that guy that he needs to get some help.
I was gonna say I don't want to make too much fun of this situation because I feel like there's a mental health thing here going on, and I'm weary of making fun of that part.
Well,
of it,
but just dysfunctional family,
right? You know, it could just be that too.
All families are dysfunctional. It's just a matter of degree.
Very true. Get to some palate cleansers here. We need some good stories of the day. Need to clean it off and everything. And got a great one here because we got local good stories. This is a new feature we're doing here with their good stories of the day where we put the onus on local good stories. And Melissa sent this one over, and I appreciate it, Melissa. And so does my daughter, because this might be something we do.
Cool.
Go back in time when live radio shows ruled the airwaves as the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point Music Department presents its opera workshop April 21st through the 22nd. Dial M from Moore Menotti will be performed at 7:30 on Friday and Saturday, April 21st and the 22nd at McKellison Hall in the Knoll Fine Arts Center. That's in Stevens Point, of course. Tickets are $17 each, and they can be gotten at 715-346-4100, 346-4100, or you can go to tickets.uwsp.edu.
Wow.
The performance is of three American operas. That's pretty cool. I think that is pretty interesting. Between the shows, commercials will be performed and by the cast with original jingles.
Cool.
The opera workshop gives local music students the opportunity to act, sing, and perform, as well as get donations, market the show, and help create the set, lighting, and costumes. That's a pretty cool one. Yeah, I really like that. Thank you for sending that over, Melissa.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was just fun because it's like old-time radio drama almost.
Yes.
And but they've got the three different shows that they're doing. One is all about soap. It's a soap opera about soap.
Oh, that's
soap
wonderful.
Opera about soap. It's too good. That's too good. Other good stories of the day we wanted to touch on here. Of course, it is Earth Week, and our friends at McMillan Library are celebrating. They have at 6 o'clock tomorrow, they will have The Lorax. They're going to be playing.
Ooh, nice.
It's a really good one. On April 19th, be sure to check out at 6 o'clock the Clean Energy Benefits of Recent Legislation. That's a good, nice little conference that they'll be having. Then on April 20th, 6 o'clock, Recycling, What You Need to Know. And on April 22nd at 1:30, the movie The Biggest Little Farm. It's a great documentary about Earth Week and some of the activities going around the world to try to keep this planet better.
Very nice.
Our good
friend. I want to mention one that's happening over in Stevens Point. There's a gentleman who's coming to give a talk on the Thursday. It's John Francis. He's the Planet Walker. And Laura actually gave me this book for my birthday, which is really cool that he is going to be there giving a talk at the Dreyfus University Center.
Very nice.
That is so cool.
Thursday at 7, yeah.
What are the odds of that? That's so
awesome. I wish I could go.
yeah, that should be really good. I'm glad you mentioned that. Our friends at the United Way of Southwood and Canoms Counties have their book drive going on. Drop off books or cash donations at the United Way office at 351 Oak Street in Wisconsin Rapids. If you could donate, they are in big need of baby board books and easy readers. Any gently used children's books, they'll be given away during the great book giveaway going on June 6th through the 13th. And greatly appreciate you being a part of this if you can. And we have blood drives happening. Blood drives are going on, people. In Stevens Point, you have blood drives going on all the time over at the Stevens Point Blood Donation Center. Be sure to reach out to them for more information about that. And we have a community blood drive happening here in Wisconsin Rapids tomorrow from 10 to 3:30. Or I'm sorry, from 10 to 3 at the former East Junior High School Music Room at 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Appointments are encouraged. If you can, you can give them a call at 866-566-5900. You can get 866-566-5900 to schedule an appointment. Otherwise, they don't mind walk-ins. That is okay as well. I'd encourage you to do that. Please give back if you're able to.
Yes. We also have a blood drive that'll be happening at the Moravian Church on Thursday, April 27th from noon to 4. Again, if you want to pre-register, the information is on our website, wrmoravian.org, or walk-ins are welcome.
A guy named Dave Urban works at a Lowe's store in Philadelphia and recently went the extra mile to help a kid named William who has cerebral palsy. He saw William's parents looking at PVC pipes and offered to help. Then he found out they were trying to build a set of parallel bars to help him learn to walk. So Dave stepped up and built it for them right there in the store.
Wow.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
He got pretty emotional just talking about it. His advice to people is to go the extra mile. It'll pay you back 100 times over.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good phrase, man. That's a good phrase. I like that. Nice. Well done, Dave. Nice job. Passengers at Oakland International Airport in California paid tribute to a 100-year-old World War II vet the other day. And a Southwest employee made it happen. He got everybody in the terminal to sing "God Bless America."
That's wonderful.
Oh, that got me. That's beautiful. What an impromptu, beautiful thing to be able to do.
And kindness does go a long way.
Oh, yeah. Kindness goes farther than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. And how cool is this? A 2-year-old kid was watching construction going on outside his home, so the workers stopped and used a front-end loader to fill his Tonka truck up with dirt.
Cute.
You have to see this video. It is amazing. And the way this kid freaks out over this. Think about it. Well, many of us played with Tonka trucks and trucks as a kid and picked up sand and dumped it and everything. Now think about what you would feel like if construction workers took the time to acknowledge you as a little kid and do something like that. Good on them.
A bucket that's bigger than...
Yeah.
Than you.
My God, that's awesome. Please do yourself a favor and watch that video, everybody. That is
really cute.
It is hard not to be like just blown away by that video and just very happy and smiling from it.
Wow.
Great show today, you two. Thank you so much for a great episode of The Kitchen's Open and a bunch of good conversation. Had a lot of fun today. Wishing you both a great day.
You too, James.
Yeah, you too, James.
We hope you all have a good one out there. Be back here tomorrow with more morning show. We're going to have some fun. Melissa and I will be hanging out with you. Coming up, Seth and I are going to bring you Playmakers on WFHR Locally Grown Radio.